blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 75, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. O Lord, to thee I cry, and thou art my rock and trust. O be not silent, lest I die and slumber in the dust. 1, 2, and 6 of Psalter 75.
Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now read together from Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death thus far. Let us next read the form for the administration of baptism, as you can find it on page 126 in the back of your psalters. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10, verse 16. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him, in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet, and that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, and whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children. And when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Brunn? Father and Mother de Kock, and Father and Mother van Dyck. Dear parents, why baptism? That is because the Lord has commanded it. Why has the Lord commanded it? Why has the Lord given it? That is for his people. That is for his church. It is because the Lord cares for, because the Lord takes care of his people. They cannot care for, they cannot take care of themselves. And that has to do with faith. It is an antidote to unbelief. That is not faith in its habitus, in its existence, but faith in its exercise. Because it is not easy for the church to exercise faith. There are many in our days who say the opposite. Well, that is not only in our days, that has been going on already for a long time. Let's say that it is not so difficult to exercise faith. But that is not so of God's true church and the proof that is lying in baptism, in the sacraments in general, because they are an help unto faith. What is so difficult about the exercise of faith? That is the wonder of grace. The wonder of grace makes faith so difficult to exercise. There was a time when the brothers of Joseph said to their father, they brought to their father very, very joyful news. They said, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And what do you read about Jacob? You read that his heart fainted, and he believed them not. Why was that? He said, that is unbelief. What made it so hard for him? That is the wonder. That has been a long time now. And every day that went by in Jacob's life made it more and more difficult for him to even imagine that such a thing could take place. And when that, we would say, wonderful news came, then Jacob could not believe it. That is the difficulty of faith for the true church of God. That is the greatness of the wonder. And the longer that God's people live, the longer they do experience that sin remains in their heart and in their life. Yeah, the more difficult it is to believe that wonder that it could possibly be. What do we read was an help to Jacob? that he might believe. We read, and when Jacob saw the wagons, when Jacob saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, we read that his spirit revived. There wasn't help to him when he saw the wagons. Why was that so helpful? Because he saw that the wagons were Joseph's. They were from Joseph. There was something there for him to see with his eyes. And then he could believe it, although it was so impossible for him otherwise. That is now the sacraments. That is now baptism. That is when the church does experience more and more the impossibility from their own side, and the wonder that that would ever be, then the Lord is presenting before their eyes something that they may see, something that they may behold. Maybe in this day, sitting here in this church, and maybe in your own hearts, that you say, how can that ever be? And now, it is the fact that it is the Lord's institution. They were Joseph's chariots. You say that is the Lord's institution of baptism that is sealing, that is giving in the heart of his people, that they may see that it is real, that it is genuine, and that this comes not as an institution of man. That is the sealing power of the sacraments. And that cannot be, of course, except to those who do experience those things in their own hearts. And we hope that you may not only present your child this day for baptism, but that you may also be given to experience the wonder, the great wonder of salvation, and that you may be given to experience that sealing power of baptism within your hearts. Congregation, we ask you to sing while the children are brought in from Psalter 432, the third stanza. And then after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5. So while the children are brought in, 432, stanza 3, for God's royal might serves his truth and right. Justice he maintains, righteously he reigns. And what follows, stanza 3 of 432.
Thank you.
Selene, Janea, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Logan Cornell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Anna Magdalena, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen thou these parents to whom thou hast entrusted this great care of souls traveling through this world to meet thee, that they may receive an abundance of thy Holy Spirit, and that they may diligently and faithfully, according to their promise, fulfill the calling that thou hast given unto them, and that thou may remember the grandparents and great-grandparents thou knowest also, each one of them, and the joy in their own hearts in this day for this, but also for them a great responsibility as their seed does increase. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember all parents. O give to us to feel something of that great accountability, and that thou may give us in truth to do our duty, and that thou may remember also those that are not able to baptize in this afternoon. When their child is lying in the hospital, wilt thou give increase in health and strength that that time may also come. And thou hast also taken away out of a family in our community a young girl, a young daughter, a young sister, Lord, who can say unto thee, what doest thou? O Lord, who can make straight what thou dost make crooked? O, we beseech thee for help from above, that those parents and family may receive strength in this week to come, and all those that mourn, look upon us in this hour, and when thy word is to go forth, give strength and ability to bring it with clarity, and grant thy spirit in a rich measure amongst us, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 104 while your collection is being received. Stanzas 3, 5, 8, 9, and 10. Make me, O Lord, to know mine end. Teach me the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and turn from pride and sinful ways. And we make the following announcement. Funeral arrangements for Heather Arietta Ludeman are as follows. Opportunity for condolences will be given on Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The funeral service is scheduled for Thursday morning at 10 a.m., both in the Picture Butte Church. Psalter 104, 3, 5, 8, 9, and 10. text words for this afternoon, congregation, can be found in the portion that was read to you, Proverbs chapter 8, the first part of the 21st verse. Proverbs 8, verse 21, the first part. And that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. So far, the words of our text, substance, to be inherited. First, by whom? It says, those that love me. And second, it says, from whom? It says, that I may cause the substance to be inherited by whom and from whom. Substance, what is that, congregation? The word actually means existence, our very being. Thus, what is there if there is no existence? Then you say there is nothing. And that is now the sin which we wish to speak about this afternoon hour. And we have been speaking about it in different aspects in the weeks that have gone by. And this afternoon, in the aspect of vanity, which is emptiness. Thus, Hosea it says, surely they are vanity. The word is shav, that is emptiness, nothingness, worthlessness. They are nothing, they are vanity. Hosea also speaks about swearing falsely. The word falsely, that is actually the same word. Vanity, to swear in vain, to swear vainly, that is shav also. That means that the oath is without substance. That oath is an empty oath, that the words are empty and that those words hold no weight. There is a similar Greek word. The Apostle Paul says that the creature is made subject unto vanity. The creature, that means the creation actually. And it is made subject, it is placed under the burden of vanity, of emptiness, that there is nothing in this world. That is an emptiness that is on account of mankind after the fall. Thus, the creature is made subject to it. The creature of the world, or the creation, the whole world itself actually, is made subject. We read, not willingly, that was not the choice of the animals. It was not the choice of the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the creation. No, that is, not willingly they have been made subject to something that man has chosen, man's choice. So we often sing, all nature praises God. That is associate of nature, because nature has not sinned against God. But that is not so of man. He has become what we read, vain. Vain in his imaginations. And the Apostle Paul says that the whole creation groans under this. The vanity of man. He calls it a bondage of corruption. That creature is subject. He is bound by that vanity of man, the emptiness wherewith man walks upon the earth, and the emptiness and the vanity that is living in man's heart as he is going over the globe and as he is dealing with all the the creation that the Lord has set him over. We read that it travaileth in pain. The creation travails in pain, waiting like a woman who is waiting to deliver a child. It's pain, the world, the creation, waiting, travailing in pain to be delivered from vanity. The vanity of man. Do you ever feel it? The vanity of your existence. Actually, those two words are really opposed one to another. We say the vanity of existence, but vanity is actually non-existence, emptiness. So do we ever feel it? The emptiness, the nothingness, the worthlessness of our existence. Man has lost through the fall what? He has lost his life. He has lost his existence. Not his natural existence, not his natural life yet. No. But he has lost his spiritual life. His spiritual life. And what have we, what existence have we, if we have natural life and we have no spiritual life? Is that not actually a non-existence? It speaks about the worthlessness of a man who has fallen after paradise. Do we ever feel that? You ever wake up in the morning, young people? You say, maybe, what is my life all about? What is my life about? What am I going to do today? Because I'm going to get up today, if all is well, and we're going to eat, and we're going to work, and we're going to come home again, and we're going to go to sleep again, and that is all. Well, that is the same thing as the animals do. You say, what is my life? What is my life, my life's value above the value of any beast or above the value of all of the creation wherein we are living? Psalmist says, man without understanding is like the beasts. He is just like the beast that perish. Now for the beast that is okay, because that is how he was created. Just to do that. And in doing that, in fulfilling what the Lord has given that beast to do, he is honoring and he is glorifying his maker. That is why we sing, all nature praises God. But that is so very different from us. If there would be no sin in us, except for vanity, if there would be no sin in us, except for emptiness, nothingness, then we would be eternally condemned because of this sin. Why is that? That is because we were not created that way. We were not created empty. We were not created vain in our imaginations. But we were created good. We were created in God's image. And to be in God's image is to have fullness. That is a great worth. There was a great value to the existence of man as he was created. There was a great value in his existence to God himself, who has made him that way. And when he has made him as that crown of his creation and able to worship him as no other creature in this world is able to worship him in such a way as a rational human being, then he has glorified God. And now what? Shall we ask ourselves? What is left of it? What is now left of it from the morning, when we get up in the morning, to the time that we go to bed at night? You say, then there is nothing. There is nothing of that fullness. There is nothing of that spiritual life. There is nothing of that image of God, of knowledge, righteousness, holy. There is nothing. Nothing of that left in my heart. Nothing of it left in my life. Not in my thoughts. Not in my words. Not in my deeds. And so, that creation is under our feet. Those animals, put them in a fence. Feed them. Slaughter them that we may eat. That whole creation groaning. When we are using them, when we make decisions about them, concerning them, they are groaning. The whole creation. Oh, could we be delivered? Crying to God. Could we be delivered from this vain generation that lives for what? That remembers not his maker. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. What is substance? Substance that is existence. That I may give them a being. So here we have the remedy for the vanity, the emptiness, the nothingness that is left after our own fall. Do we desire that? By nature, we do not desire that. We do not see our vanity. We do not desire any other kind of life than we have. Content. Is that right, young people? Oh, maybe not. Oh, we are content by nature. When we may have all the things of this world and we seek in them, we seek a certain fullness because we were created full. But we seek a certain fullness and we are not able to find it. We do not learn. Because when we do not find it here, then we look for it there and there and there and there, and we do not learn. Why do we not learn? Because we are corrupt. Because we are lovers. Our heart is desirous of sin. That is the reason. Let us eat and drink. For tomorrow we die. And Satan, he blinds all of his subjects so that we cannot see, we cannot feel, we cannot live. Then he holds his subjects, as it were, in that death. But that is not true of everyone, is it? That is not true of everyone that is in this world. Because that is what we read here. It says, those that love me. Who's me? That is God. That is the Lord, Jehovah. That is in a special way here, the Son of God. The incarnate God. It is the Word of God, and it is that Word of God made into the person of wisdom. So you read that through that whole chapter, that wisdom is being described as a person. That is the Son of God. No wisdom as he, the foolishness of God, wiser than men, if there could be such a thing as the foolishness of God. Those that love me, what is the vanity? What is the emptiness of fallen man? That is, congregation, that we do not love him. But that we do not love him. That is now what man is empty of. That is now what lived in the heart of man in his creation. But the Lord says there are those that love me. That is the characteristic of some persons in this world. Such persons do exist in this world. There are not many, no. But it says there are some. Don't read here where that love comes from. John says that elsewhere. He says we love him because he first loved us. So he's talking about the cause. Where that comes from, that there are some persons in the world that love him. Thus he speaks about a mark. That is the mark of the elect church in whom that Holy Spirit of the Lord is working. What is that mark? They love me. So we lay that before you in this afternoon. Do you possess that mark? That you love him. That is an important mark. A very important mark. Because the Lord here speaks unto his people. And when the Lord is speaking to his people here, he is giving to his people a promise. We all like that. Right, children? We all like to hear a promise. It's not just you. That's all men. Many people speak about the promises that are in God's word. Oh, that is good. They're there for a reason. But do you want to know whether you are addressed? Do you want to know whether that promise actually belongs to you, or if the Lord promises that thing to someone else? To whom is that promise? That promise is to his people. That is the same thing where we read that in the form for baptism. That is unto his own people. That concerns his own elect. Those that love me. And the Lord calls himself wisdom. Do you love wisdom? What kind of wisdom do you love? Because we can love the wisdom of this world, but loving the wisdom of this world does not mean that we love the Lord. The fear of the Lord, we read here, is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way in the froward mouth. Do I hate? I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. That is what the Lord loves. It's who the Lord is. And then he says, those that love me. What do you think, children? Do you think David loved the Lord? Say yes. Even when he was just a boy. Then he was called, the Lord called him that. Not people. He didn't call himself that. The Lord says that is a man after my heart. Or would the Lord say that of you? In the days of your youth, boys and girls, young people, would the Lord say that now? Oh, what a calling that is coming to you in your youth. Oh, can it be said of you that is now a boy, that is now a girl who is after my heart. That does seek after my heart. That does love me, that does love wisdom, that does love the Lord, that does love Jehovah. Because we so clearly experience that we do not all become old. So these things do not only belong to father and mother. No, they also belong to you, children, little boys and little girls. And we see they are in the hospital. And then they are hanging between life and death. Then it is possible. It is possible that a man, when he is 50, 60, 70 years old, that he can say, I have experienced this in my life and I have experienced that in my life. That is a wonder. But here we read of one thing. It says, those that love me. That is now something that we can all lay our heart next to, can we not? And we can do that from the youngest to the oldest. Also the little children can do this. And you don't have to be a father or mother because you know, children, if you love, and you know what you love, say, I love my mother. I love my father. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. You know what that is, right? And maybe you say, young people, I love the world. If I'm honest. I love my motorbike. And I love my plane. Or even I love my work. Those that love me. Do you love him? The man after God's heart. And then he fell. He fell. But a woman. Adultery. Murder. Murder. What is that, David? Is that after God's heart? Is that now to hate evil? Is that to love righteousness? How is it in your heart? Is it really true that you love the Lord? What do you think? You think David had those questions? Do you have those questions? Say, oh, years ago, I went up to that house of God with the multitude with joy. And now, can't find it anymore. It is all gone. What did Newton say? Do I love the Lord? Or no? He wanted to know why this dull and lifeless frame. What did David say? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Do I love the Lord? If I would love the Lord, then my life would be different. Or if I would love the Lord, then my heart would be different. My words would be different. Or everything, my whole existence, my whole being, that would be different. You know that turmoil? You know that turmoil? You know that warfare? Living in your own heart? Is there a disappointment? because you say, oh, I do not love the Lord. I wish I loved the Lord. I thought I loved the Lord. All that is now the turmoil that does not exist in the heart of those who do not love Him. Those that love me. What about those that love me? What does the Lord say? He says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. What did Agur say? He says, remove from me vanity and lies. Oh, take away that emptiness. Take away that sinfulness of my empty and vain existence. Do you desire that? What did he want? He wanted substance. He wanted fullness. Then he looked back to how that he was created. What has substance? Children, what is substance? Young people, what is substance? What is existence? You ever think about that? You ride down the road. Say, what is real? What exists? There I see a mountain. There I see an animal. And a church. Yeah. Then they speak about things that I cannot see. Does that exist? Then they speak about God. And I cannot see Him either. Does He exist? What are the things that have been? What are the things that have existence? You say, oh, they are all the things I can see. Is that right? And how long? Oh, you have seen hitherto, right? A little while? A few years? And now she's gone. And all the rest is soon going to be gone too. Because you know what the Lord says? You see those heavens? They're going to be rolled together as a scroll. The heavens are going to be dissolved. What now is left? When everything you can see and everything you can touch and everything you can feel is dissolved and is gone. Then you know what is left? What does the Lord say here? He says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, he says, durable riches and righteousness. Durable. Something that endures, that will never be dissolved. Do you feel that? Our bodies, they will die. Our souls will not die. And our bodies will rise from the dead. And then they will live forever. And now the Lord is speaking here about substance. Substance over against our emptiness. Over against all of that which is nothing in us. And he says, this substance is to be obtained. That substance is to be had. How is that substance to be had? Let us sing. Psalter 40. Psalter 40, stanzas 1 through 4. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect. The soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise. The truth that is sure evermore. 1 through 4 of Psalter 40. Thank you. that love me. They are his elect. They are made to love him. No other will ever love him. They are those who desire the things that he promises. They desire that substance, but they do not know how to get that substance. Do you ask that also? Do you know what the Lord says here? The Lord says, I will cause them to obtain it. That is for them a great wonder, because they do not know how to obtain it. And the Lord says, I am going to take up your cause so they will never be disappointed because of their own inability. They will never be disappointed because of their own poverty. Because the Lord says, I will be the cause, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. So what does it mean to inherit something? That is not something we earn. That is just something that we receive. We receive that freely upon the death of someone else. Those possessions belonged to them. Those possessions were bequeathed. They were given unto us by their choice, their decision, in their will. Many times possessions of great value, what they have labored and labored to obtain, but given to a person who has never labored for them at all. Why did he receive them? He received them. That person received them by virtue of a relation. A relation. Because he was a son. Because he was a daughter. Because he was a friend. Now what do we read that the Lord said to Abraham? I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. What did God do? He entered into a relation with Abraham and promised to Abraham, based on that relation, he promised unto Abraham an inheritance. That was not just an earthly portion. No. It says an everlasting possession. Not merely things that are passing away, but riches, durable riches and righteousness, a spiritual part, a spiritual blessing, which is able to fill the empty and the vain heart and life of that fallen people. Abraham did not know how the Lord would do this, could do this. But the Lord gave him little indications of the justice and the mercy Isaac and the ram, both were pictures for Abraham of that sacrifice that was going to come, upon whose death would be the distribution of the inheritance of the Lord, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Congregation, what do we need? We only need one thing. We need a relation. We need a relation. Because that substance is not to be merited by us. That substance has been merited. That substance has been bought. That substance has been fully paid for. And now there is only one thing. We need to be a son. We need to be a daughter. That is all. Because the sons and the daughters, they receive it. And they receive it freely, based upon that relation. How can we know whether we're in that relation? The mark. What's the mark? He says, those that love me. That is the mark. Do we possess that mark? And whose fault is it if we do not? Is that the Lord's fault? We do not love him. Do we intend to blame that on him? When we stand before him on that great day of days? No, we perish, congregation, because of our own fault. Does anyone force us to love? The things that we love. What do you love? We all love. What do you love? Someone force you to do that? No one forces us. Comes out of here. Comes out of this heart. We do that freely. And because we do that freely, we're accountable for that. We're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account for what we love. You ever come into guilt with that? That we do not love the Lord? Did you ever come into need with that? You say, how now can I receive that? That love for the Lord. Who can change our heart? We cannot do that. Or you say, only the Lord can do that. Can change my heart. That is right. Does he? Does he? Yes, he does. Believe that, young people? That the Lord changes hearts? Do you believe that the Lord does that often? To children? When they're young, you believe that fathers and mothers? Do you believe that the Lord often uses you, father and the mother, for the sake of your children. How does the Lord do that then? Say, how does the Lord change a person? You come home again. Young people, will you read that psalm again? Just read that psalm again. And then go over that psalm verse by verse and sit a little and meditate and think a little bit. And then see how that the Lord is doing that. How that the Lord is actually working. You know what the Lord says here? He says, those that seek me early shall find me. Do you believe that? The Lord would draw you. He sets something before you. What does he set before you here? It says riches. Riches. Durable riches. And righteousness. Heather, young people, what did she leave behind? What did she leave behind? You have little things, young people, children, in your room. So they're mine. Brother takes that. Say, no, no, that is mine. She left it all behind. It's just borrow. And then we leave. You see now what the Lord sets before you? Something else. Something that you do not need to leave behind. Durable riches and righteousness. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. Life. Whoso findeth me, finds existence. Whoso findeth me, finds being, finds substance, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Does that draw you? Or does that draw your heart? Is that not now a durable riches? Does the Lord pass away? Does your soul pass away? Will that not endure forever? That relation between your soul and the Lord, that will be forever and forever and forever. And now is laid before our eyes the durable riches of the favor of the Lord. And then he encourages you. Say of that NRC church, right? So discouraging. Is that right? What does the Lord say here? He says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. You ever hear that mocked, young people? I know we have to close. You ever hear that mocked? In that church where they say you have to just wait. We cannot do anything. Is that true? Did we say that? that there is nothing for you to do. Is that true? That is, young people, a false accusation. That is not true at all. There's one thing that we say is true, that we want to be honest with you. You want us to be honest with you about the depth of our fall. Depth of our fall. That it is empty now. We have lost all of our ability. That spiritual ability is gone. And we wish to be honest with you about it. And if anyone will tell you different, or imply different, then he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Then you must go back to the Word of God. We do not say that you are not called to do something. That is, to believe, to savingly believe, that you are not called to that. But we do say that we are unable. And we are able to do the opposite. We are able to live in unbelief. And for this, we are accountable. We are accountable for the things that we do, that our heart chooses. We are accountable for what we love, what every day we fulfill. We are accountable for our choices. O congregation, we have fallen into a deep, deep pit. A deep pit. You ever feel that? How deep that pit is, that we are unable to come out of that pit. Do you believe that? There are many people in the world that do not believe that. That is not what the Word of God says. Do you need a Savior? Do you need a mighty Savior? Do you need the power, the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit to give you a new heart? That you say, I also would love Him. We broke a relation, a covenant, that covenant of works. And our only hope is in a new relation, in that new covenant. Baptism, we are brought into its outward administration. Old children, young people, that the calling that is coming in a special way to you now may give you to feel something. The privilege that you have, that you might hear what you do. What you do here, but also the responsibility, because we have a responsibility with it. all young people, and not only young people, cry, cry, cry unto the Lord out of your vanity. Oh, say it unto the Lord. I have a vain heart. I have an empty heart. Oh, I have no spiritual heart that is all gone. Wilt thou give unto me what thou dost promise unto those that love thee? Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Oh, hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring thy word with power in our hearts, and then in a special way our youth and our children. For the calling comes unto them in a special way in these days, and we cannot change ourselves, neither can we change our children or our grandchildren. But Lord, thou art almighty, and thou who hast brought us also into that outward administration, and who does bestow so many labors upon us and upon our children, wilt thou also give the application, and wilt thou keep us in the rest of this day, forgive and take away all that was amiss, and grant thy blessing upon the means, help each one in the week to come. Oh, we lay in a special way before thee once again, and that mourning family who must go unto the grave. Oh, how impossible that it will be for father and for mother. Oh, uphold them, Lord, and be on their right and on their left in thy mercy. Oh, give them that peace in their hearts that alone can come from thee. Help thy servant also speaking words at that funeral service. Remember the synod that hopes to meet, all the traveling. Care for us, Lord. Bless the means. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 27 is our closing psalter. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. 1-5 of Psalter 27. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.